from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the G and Ursula Show. I'm sure that you are enjoying the beautiful weather that we are having. Do you realize that fall starts in just 3 days from now?
Oh.
Wait. Why do you say, ugh?
Because I'm enjoying this. This is perfect. This is what they call Chamber of Commerce weather, right?
Yes,
right,
exactly. Right. Chamber of Commerce weather.
Mid-70s, blue skies.
And it's going to continue.
Let's build the wall, close the borders, no more people, we're done, we're full.
We're ending the summer, Spike, with this beautiful weather. We're going to start fall with this beautiful weather, low 70s.
Yeah.
I think that's,
I love fall. Fall might be my favorite season.
I love summer, but I'm starting to love fall just the way we're starting right now. Okay, coming up after Heather's newscast at 11:30, the list is out for the rudest cities in the U.S. Did any city in our state make this list? And should a city in our state make that list? And while we're at it, is the Seattle freeze still a thing? Okay, we're going to talk about that again after Heather's newscast at 11:30. But right now, it is time to agree to disagree, which is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Should high school coach, the former Bremerton coach, Joe Kennedy, who we found out did not want his job back, apparently. But I wanted to see how much did an assistant football coach in Bremerton make. He made about $5,000, it turns out. And looking up the salary schedule for coaches, at least at Bremerton High School, there are vast disparities in how much different coaches make depending on the sport that they lead. So, for example, a head football coach makes $7,283 per year. Volleyball, $5,826. That's 25% less. Spike, I'm actually going to come to you on this one first and say, should they get paid regardless of the sport?
Absolutely not. Because different coaching positions have different job requirements. You know, for example, my friend Joe is a teacher at a local school district. He's also the badminton coach. And I'm not disparaging badminton in any way, shape, or form.
But
what I'm saying is he's got 8 players on his team. A football coach has 50, 60 players on their team. Preparing a game plan for a team, running practices for a team. There are so many. I mean, a coaching job is a full-time job. I can't believe anybody who is a full-time football coach at any level has time to be a teacher as well.
Some schools actually require that you be a teacher to become a coach.
Well, I think most do, right? Yeah. I mean, because if $7,500 for the coaching job, he's obviously a teacher as well. How do you have time to do both? When you're a football coach, and when you're a cross country coach, I mean, and again, no disparity on the cross country team,
but they're just
such an easier job description for some coaches in some sports than others.
Well, a cross country coach, you threw that out there. I mean, they've got lots of.
They got a game plan? They have to have defensive strategies for the other cross-country teams?
No, they have to touch base. Do they watch films of the other cross-country teams? You're putting more value on football over other sports. I get you made a good point with if it's the badminton team and they only have 8 players versus, 100 kids that you're in charge of, that would make sense. But I don't think that some of these salary discrepancies or the disparities are easily
justified?
Justified.
Well, I would say that game planning is a big. There is no game planning for cross country. You don't have to study your opponent. You don't have to plan for what defense.
The numbers are the same for, let's say, the football coach and the difference between the football coach and the soccer coach. Right? Football makes about $7,300. The soccer coach makes about $5,800. 25% less. You have probably the same amount of athletes on your team.
I don't think you do.
No, because we're not talking. This is split up between head coach on a football team. Mm-hmm. There's a JV coach and a C team coach. So you're just the head coach of the varsity team. A cross-country coach or, let's say, a soccer coach, head coach, same team.
By the way, just in general, these figures that you're talking about...
Laughable?
They are being paid nothing to do what you said...
A full-time job for a lot of
them. Is almost a full-time job. In some cases, it might be more than a full-time job if you are really getting into it, but... So I will just start with, G's not here, but I'll just start with those wages need to go up, just in general.
Where's the money going to come from, Ursula?
Well, and that is something that they need to consider.
Sorry, chess team, we're going to have to let you go. Yeah.
But I don't think just based on the sport itself. I think it, yeah, if it requires different responsibilities, sure. If you have someone that you're offering that to, and they come in with more experience, then obviously they deserve more. But it would be hard, actually, just come to think of it, to have everyone paid exactly the same. It just wouldn't make sense.
Why? I mean, I suppose you
because,
could make
again,
the revenue argument.
There's different responsibilities. There's different levels of interest in particular jobs. Different to get someone to come, there might be more competition to get certain coaches that you want for certain jobs.
Okay, so how about the bowling team? Bowling head coach, you make $5,100. If you're the coach of the flag team or the drill team, you make $3,700.
The reality is, if they don't have a bowling coach, I don't think that the school is going to suffer in the same way that they might if they don't have someone to coach.
What does a bowling coach have to do, by the way? There's a bowling coach. The pins are that way. Get as many as you can.
Wow.
I'm in!
Yeah, that's like saying as a baseball coach, all you have to do is hit the ball, Johnny. Keep your eye on the ball. That's the only advice you need. Let's talk a little bit about eyesores. In case you have driven the new to I-5 Tacoma construction that's been completed recently, you will notice all the billboards down there. It is one of the areas in our state, one of the few, where there are billboards along the highway. Of course, if you go east of the state, there are a lot near the Spokane area and as you cross the mountains. But there are four states that have entirely banned billboard advertising: Hawaii, Vermont, Alaska, and Maine. Now, some traffic safety experts say that they are a distraction on the road. Others say they are an eyesore. Ursula, would you support banning billboards in Washington State?
No. Because I know that they are a revenue generator. I would support more regulations on billboards so that there would be bans on areas where, you know, it's pristine and it really would be detrimental to a certain area. I think those four states that have banned them have beautiful sceneries, right? I think that that's one of the reasons why they don't want to mar the scenery. We're already beyond that point.
Oh, with the advertising on our phones and,
yes.
And the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, I don't want to say, yeah, I would support it without knowing really how much money they generate, but I would be in support of maybe having some areas where they just can't go, just so that they don't
more
screw
of
a up a beautiful
limitations
thing. Yeah,
on,
exactly.
Yeah.
Versus getting rid of them altogether.
I just drove across America, and I took for granted how wonderful it is in Washington to not have to look at billboards on our roadways. I mean, when you mention the places that they are, that's where I believe Indian Land is involved, where the roadways cut through Indian Land, they are allowed to have billboard advertising on our roadways. You all know the part of I-5 when you stretch through Fife on the way to Tacoma, you'll see this barrage of billboards because it runs through the reservation land there. There are parts of America that are just beautiful and shouldn't be spoiled by billboards. They're the eyesore. I mean, in New Jersey, you want every square inch of the highway covered by billboards because you see less of New Jersey.
Jersey doesn't have the most billboards.
I know what state
has the most billboards?
Las Vegas, Nevada?
No.
Oh, not a state. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
No idea.
Florida.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Because, you know, you want to sue somebody? They don't even care what happened to you. You want to sue somebody? Oh. Call us now. I went through Las Vegas last week, and I want to sue everybody now.
No, Florida has the same billboards.
I know. It's crazy.
Every
want
five
to sue
feet.
Somebody? Give us a call. We'll find a reason. We'll find something they did wrong. I mean, that's how is that good for anybody except the bill, except the lawyers?
Well, I mean, if you want to turn your state into a rolling strip mall, I guess that's how you can do it. The way it works here is that you can have billboards on Washington state highways or at least on the private land on the side of the roads, so long as a municipality does not ban it through that area. So there are parts of our state where certain cities have not, but the majority have decided in Washington state, we don't want them here. They're about as attractive as, let's see, all of the speed red light cameras that are in certain cities around the region. I would fully support it. They are a distraction. They are gross. They are ugly, but that's probably not going anywhere. So let's move on.
Four states might have said the same thing, but hey, they banned them.
Have you guys heard of the grocery chain Wegmans? It's East Coast.
Yeah, I've heard of Wegmans.
Very popular. Yes. Well, we've heard a lot about Amazon's walk-in, walk-out technology here on the west side of the United States, but it turns out that's pretty old hat, because for a couple of years now, Wegmans has been doing this thing where they have an app, and as you walk through the grocery store, you just tell the app what is in your grocery cart, and then when you decide that you want to leave, you just walk out of the store, and you pay for it through the app. Easy peasy. My question for you is, do you believe, when given the opportunity and no one is watching, most people do the right thing? They did just have to end this app, and I will tell you after your answer. Let's start with you, Ursula.
Oh, well, that's a setup, because you know me.
She knows you too well, you Chef. Know, you're not going to blame
me. You
this.
Know me and my Pollyanna attitude. I would say that, yes, the vast majority of people do the right thing, whether people are watching or not. Absolutely. That's how I view the world. I think most people are good. I think most people would do the right thing. I don't think that people are always looking for a quick way to make a buck off of someone else. So what are you going to tell me, and how wrong am I?
Well, I'll let you make your own conclusions here. They had to end the app because shoplifting skyrocketed. Yeah. They found that in the stores that were operating this app, there was 25% more shoplifting, with people self-reporting what was in their grocery cart. And they said, hey, this is a problem that we've known about with self-checkout for a while, but having this app around makes the problem even worse. There's a company, a local company here, a startup called Veeve, that is also doing something similar. They have this bar that they can put on top of your grocery cart, where you can scan the barcode of every single item as you put it into your cart. It's sort of like another option of Amazon's Just Go technology, except Amazon is using your face. These two options, Wegman and Veeves, they're relying on your ability to report yourself honestly. Do you think that most people are honest, Spike?
I wish they were, but they're not. They're just not. People, and it's funny because it's gotten worse as the economy has turned over the last couple of years. People will steal when they have opportunity, motive, and a way to rationalize what they're doing. That's when people
How
will steal.
How do you rationalize it, though?
If you can't feed your family because times are tough, and your rent went up, and your cost of fuel went up, and your cost of heating went up, and you've got to feed your family, you will steal. Not just because you like the thrill of thievery, or you're just a criminal by nature. You're feeding your family, so there's the rationale for you shoplifting.
But I don't think that's what's happening here. I mean, if you're talking about 25%, it's not people who are unable to feed their families.
I think that's probably a larger portion than you realize.
I got to bust you on this. So they're talking about the difference between shoplifting rates in stores in similar markets, right? So one has the app, one does not. Similar demographics. The ones where you have the self-reported app for your grocery prices, mm-hmm. 25% more. So you have basically the same data set of people walking into those stores, but 25% more when self-reported are stealing something. And they say that the most common items are, it's a mis-scan. So those brown mushrooms that are actually shiitakes. Yeah, they're cremini's, right? Because they're brown too.
Yeah.
Or whoops, that expensive cheese that's real small, the little wedge there. Like maybe that's just not going to make it on there.
Who was it that said they've never registered an organic vegetable in their cart? Who was it that said that last week? Was it you, Chef, that said you've never?
No, I didn't say that.
Maybe it was my producer at night. I'm sorry.
Here's what I said. I notice often in self checkout, I will be mischarged for something, and it's going to take 5 minutes to get the person to go check the price, run down the aisle, change the price. So all of a sudden, I'm sorry, my organic apples are now regular apples. I've adjusted my own my own receipt there.
Okay,
but the number of people who report fudging it a bit with self-checkout is pretty high too. About 20% of people admit.
That is such a bummer to me.
To
hear that people only do the right thing
when forced,
yeah, or when someone's looking.
Right.
And I'm still just going to go. I think it just takes a few to ruin it for the rest of us.
See, Ursula, you're right. If shoplifting goes up 25%, or 20% of people report that they fudge their self-checkout, that means most of the people do the right thing.
There you go.
The vast majority do the right thing. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
I'm more troubled by just blatant people walking out of the store these days.
Oh.
Because the staff is powerless to stop them, told not to stop them.
Yes.
I go to my local grocers at night, sometimes late at night, 11 o'clock, and then I'm making a last minute run. And there are people walking up and down the aisles who are clearly troubled people who have baskets full of goods, and they don't even begin to hide, or they just fill it up and walk out the door.
You think there's a certain percentage of folks who accidentally don't scan something on occasion that just bemoan the rampant shoplifting going on in stores? Perhaps they don't fear that their own behavior is the same, even
maybe,
though it is.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I think you're probably right.
I just don't like the self-checkout. Every time I go through self-checkout, I ask myself, why is it, first of all, that I chose to
my
do
job?
This? Well, I don't want to take away someone else's job.
Right.
That's the first thing. Second thing, there's always someone there standing by, and they have to intervene every time because something goes wrong. And I mean, they look bothered. People, you know, get frustrated when they have to call someone for help. And yeah, to me, I just like, I like that interaction with
the cashier. I know all the cashiers at my local grocery.
Exactly.
I know all of them. I hate when you go to, and not to point any fingers at any particular retailer, but when you go to Walmart, they expect you to do the checkout yourself, and they assume you've stolen something. Every time, you know, they don't have anybody to check you out, but they got somebody to check your bags as you're walking toward the door to make sure your receipts are accurate.
Oh, that's Costco, too.
Well, that's true.
Okay. Oh, people are going to write in saying, that's not why Costco does it. They want to make sure that you didn't get mischarged for something.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, still ahead, we're going to talk about the rudest cities in America, or any of our cities on that list. And then we need to discuss the whole Seattle freeze thing. It keeps coming up, and I am confident in saying that it does not exist in Seattle. How's that? Okay, argue against me. This is the G and Ursula Show. Spike O'Neill filling in for G. This is the G and Ursula Show. It is a beautiful Monday morning, and we are going to talk about the rudest cities in the U.S., but I think some of our listeners thought you were rude, Spike. Your takes on cross-country coaches and bowling coaches, I think there's a mea culpa in order here.
I would like to take a moment, because I know that if you all came after me, I couldn't make it 20 yards, let alone the 1,500 meters your athletes run for you. And Chef, thank you for giving me some schooling. Chef took me out back in the studio, as they say in our industry, and you know, our woodshed, if you will. I think the point I was trying to make very ineloquently was that there is additional responsibilities for some sports that aren't found in other sports. I said, what do you have to say when you're a cross-country coach? Run and don't stop until you see that yellow line on the road.
There's so much more.
And you're right. You know, as Chef said, do football coaches have to go out and run the field before a game to know what that particular field has? No, they don't have to do that. Cross-country coaches do. Bowling coaches, I'm sure.
Yes.
There are skills that you give your athletes and guidance you give your athletes more so than those are the pins. Knock down as many. Remember to put all your fingers and thumb in the ball.
Yeah, this is what it means when you are lofting the ball, and this is what we don't want you to do.
And a texter pointed out very, very correctly, I miss an opportunity to praise anyone who gives of their time and their experience to help coach and guide our young athletes.
This is why we do agree to disagree, is to expose our shocking ignorance on a number of various subjects.
My shock ignorance. You don't have to take one for the team. It's my shock ignorance we're talking about.
We each have our turn. No worries.
I like to leave the show smarter than when I walked in every day. And well done, Seattle. You've done it again.
Well, so here's our next topic, and that is rudest cities in the U.S. According to a new survey,
the rudest city is
Philadelphia, which is supposed to be the city. City of brotherly love.
The city of brotherly love tops a survey from Preply, followed by Memphis and New York, listing the top three rudest cities in America. Philadelphians wearing their ranking like a badge of honor.
Philadelphia isn't as bad as Philadelphians say it is. We've been hard on ourselves for quite some time.
President of Visit Philadelphia, Angela Val.
We have a lot to offer here, and we're anything but rude.
And topping the list for one's appetite.
You cannot forget those Philly cheesesteaks.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
We in Baltimore called it the city of bodily harm.
Oh, that, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm Philadelphia. I'm telling you. I've been through Philly so many times in my life and feared for my life every single day. These people threw batteries at Santa Claus at a football game.
Oh, no. Okay, well, the funny thing about this survey, though, is that the residents themselves had to do the ranking. So they were the ones that said, yeah, we're rude here in Philadelphia.
Philly.
Okay. Memphis and New York, they were number two and number three. But guess where Seattle comes in?
Oh, we can't make the top 50.
No, we're number 13. And I'm sure that's because of the Seattle freeze, which
higher.
I would argue
should go higher.
Really?
You think it's
we're higher?
We should be in the top 10?
Yeah,
among
absolutely. No, seriously.
Why?
I don't know why New York.
This
makes
is Heather,
the...
by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, and I, full disclosure, I'm from Tacoma, which Tacoma to Seattle is like New Jersey. We're the New Jersey.
Okay,
and
you know what?
We
the
are.
Last time she said that. Someone was incensed and blamed me. I was like, no, that's Heather.
No, this
that's
is
so
Heather.
Accurate.
This is the Tacoma.
That is so accurate.
The city of destiny. I came from there. And yeah, but no, I think it is different in Seattle. I think there is something to that freeze. You know, just drive around the city. Nobody looks up. No one is looking up anywhere. It drives me crazy as a driver because I want to make eye contact with people. Nobody talks in the elevator. Nobody talks in the elevator.
Oh, my gosh. You wait till you get in an elevator with me. Oh, I talk to everybody.
I know you do. I know you do. You should be our ambassador to the world,
there
Ursula.
You go.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they don't want me to be talking, but it's like, okay, I get it.
No,
your vibe.
No, you could fall flat on your face, and I'm sorry, most people kind of look down. Are she still moving? Okay. Then they keep going.
Moving right about
if you talk to me in the elevator, I assume you're intoxicated. Just don't do that.
What? See? It'll be my point.
We're sharing 15 seconds of awkward silence. Thank you. That's enough for me. I don't need conversation.
They paint this place. This looks great.
We'll Seattleites embrace the awkward, too. They so embrace it. You can be standing in a line with 50 people crowded in a group and nobody says anything.
See, so why aren't you saying something?
I'm like you, Ursula. I'm an anomaly. I don't fit in.
Yeah, and
I talk to everybody everywhere
exactly.
I go. I drive my family nuts.
I'll
engage everybody.
Too. They're
my
like,
kids
do you really have to talk to everybody?
But Seattle freeze is real.
Okay, why?
Because I moved here 33 years ago. I'm almost welcomed as one of our own now. Almost. I'm almost a local. Because we have such, and I say we, Seattle collectively, because I think after 33 years, I've earned the right to say we, despite what my wife, who was born and raised here, thinks. There's such a provincial sense of superiority for folks who are born and raised in the Northwest. Because this place really is something special.
It is special.
It really is. The natural beauty, the resources, the tech industry that has started here and blossomed into being like the driving force of the city. You know, we were always Boeing. Rock solid Boeing. And then it was Nintendo. Then it was Microsoft. Now it's Amazon. I mean, we have a lot to be proud of. And when folks move here, as they continually keep doing, and we all resent that, another element of the Seattle freeze. Anybody who moved here from California and drove our housing prices up, more elements of the Seattle freeze. It is real.
But is it... a sense of superiority? Or are we just all plain old awkward?
Well, there's that.
I think it's a lot of that.
Okay, so the most common rude behaviors in the U.S. include people being absorbed by their phones, people refusing to let people merge into traffic, and people who are being noisy in shared spaces. I guess that would be me. But
we have a different kind of rude in the Northwest. We have an unengaging rudeness in the Northwest. The freeze, the cold shoulder to the unengaged with strangers. That's our rude. In Philly, there it's a vocal, it's physical,
it's
rude.
Face.
It's in your face. You're in my spot. You know, we let people merge here.
Yeah.
They force their way in at the expense of their fenders.
So what would you rather have?
Why I'm here. It's why I didn't go back.
We let people merge, but then we get mad. It was,
He didn't say thank you. He didn't wave thank you through his windshield.
I wanted to thank you. Yes, exactly.
You know what? That bothers me.
It bothers me,
too.
If
you're on a one-way street and you pull over, like there's only room for one car,
and
you pull over and that person passing at you doesn't wave.
Doesn't acknowledge it?
I get irrationally angry.
I get incensed as well.
I want the polite wave.
Yes.
People don't polite wave.
I am dying right now. Are you kidding me?
No, you don't.
You guys look at,
you don't resent that when someone doesn't acknowledge a kindness from you?
I don't have time to worry about it.
I have plenty of time to be petty.
If you see someone in a black Subaru, don't pull over for them.
Hey, easy.
You know what I find so often?
What?
I'm shocked when people, even though I know that they want to continue going and pretend not to see me. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they wave me in and mm-hmm. then maybe they end up missing the light. And then I feel terrible because they missed the green light because they've let me in. But I see that, again, it's kind of like that discussion we had. Are more people apt to not do the right thing when people are looking? Yeah. 80% of the people continue to do the right thing. Maybe we're just focusing on...
Well, the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
The
rooty ones, the other ones get our attention.
Yeah.
Again, Ursula should be the ambassador for the city.
Absolutely.
She's the polite one who's smiling at you.
I don't know about that. But Trevor Garrett just texted in and said, the Seattle freeze really started in the late 80s when the boom of California folks started relocating.
Yeah. And drove up housing prices, you bet.
Huh. Okay, well, I guess... maybe Seattle coming at number 13 isn't that unusual then, based on what you guys are saying.
We're a soft 13. We're polite. No, 12. You go in front of us. You go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Okay. And then you're going to complain about it behind their back.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you.
I wanted the wave.
Thanks, Heather. Okay. Still ahead. We hear you. And, of course, our words to live by. This is the G and Ursula Show with Spike. Boy, this show went super fast today. G is under the weather, but he is planning, hopefully, to be back tomorrow. Spike, I got to say thank you. It's always fun.
It's my pleasure. And I hope you don't mind. I filled the studio with nitrous oxide today because I'm more entertaining when I do that for folks. So I hope you don't mind.
JD and Puyallup texted in and said, Ursula, you're supposed to be saying give the people what they want to start the show for 5 days. You made it 4. G takes the day off and you think you're going to get away without doing it. In case you missed it, remember I told you?
You delivered.
I delivered. It was a little bit late. I didn't realize I was supposed to do it today as well, but I did deliver at around 10:40.
I thought those were brown mushrooms.
Yeah, and not just when people are watching, Ursula.
Oh,
you do
boy.
What you say you're going to do.
Well, I didn't realize it was going to extend to the following week, but I guess 5 days.
The Seattle freeze and the rudest cities in America. 360 says, I'm dying right now. I tell my 12 and 9-year-old girls constantly, if I've taught you anything, by the time you start driving, it's to wave thank you at folks who let you merge. Drives me bonkers when people don't acknowledge a courteous gesture on the road.
Felix Spinell literally just sent me an article he wrote for Crosscut. Let's see, in 2009, announcing the death of the friendly wave in Seattle.
It's back. But now it's the zombie wave from the dead, Felix. Come on, Felix. We're nice people.
No. Our historian has the exact date of when it died. What happened that year? What happened that year?
I don't know.
What was it, Felix? Okay. Annette says, I get furious when I let someone out of a driveway to go in front of me and they don't thank me. It makes me crazy. And as a California transplant, there, I said it, I can say that the Seattle freeze is very real.
Brian in Bellevue says, if the Seattle freeze doesn't exist in Seattle, it is absolutely in Redmond, Washington.
Ouch. And he says, hashtag head down, walk fast. 360 says, Ursula, Seattle freeze is totally a thing. I moved here about 5 or so years ago. It took me forever to get any friends. Dating was non-existent, too. I'm engaged now, but I didn't meet her in Seattle. It's annoying, frankly.
I'm so sorry. Let me take this next couple, if I may. Should all high school coaches be paid the same? 206, Spike, generally you're an honest, fair, and thoughtful. So I was very disappointed to hear your cross-country coach comments. It was uneducated. Many cross-country coaches have 75 to 100 runners.
True.
With 2 or 3 assistants developing individual training and competitive strategies. Spike, you missed an opportunity to recognize the great passion and work ethic of all high school coaches. You're right. I stand corrected. I really do. From the 425, once again, Spike is pontificating on a sport that he knows nothing about. You should have seen my time at sports radio. I was doing that on a daily basis. I used to coach cross country at Redmond High School for 4 years. There is tons of strategy, especially when you're running someone else's course. How fast should you go out? Where are the hills? How fast are the top runners? Maybe you should watch the movie McFarland with Kevin Costner. Seen it. Great movie, by the way. And this is from a former football coach.
206 said, what about the income that the sports generates? Should that factor in?
I think high school sports really don't generate a lot of income. And maybe another ignorant pontification on my part. I could be wrong. self-checkout and self-scanning apps. Michael in the 253. My friend managed a Fred Meyer, and he said that the wealthy misscan and steal more than the needy.
There you go. Okay, 206 says, a friend justified stealing because he said companies get to deduct the loss off their taxes. I was shocked. I couldn't believe their justification.
Wow, two wrongs don't make a right, but two rights make an airplane. Nick said, how much are these stores losing from self-checkout theft versus how much they'd be saving by not paying clerks? That's probably a factor into the decision.
It is, and there are some stores that have decided, we're just going to
take the loss. It's a net profit for us.
Well, and others have said, we're not going to even bother doing this. Ugh. So a car thief shot someone. A car thief shot owner.
A car thief shot after man
after the man tracked him down
truck,
with for a stolen truck. 206 says, self-defense is not vigilante justice, Spike.
Yeah, and Dan in the 360, doesn't insurance company cover theft anymore? They do.
When it comes to the joy of the West Seattle Bridge reopening, 206 said, I live in West Seattle and I work in SoTo, and my commute went from 55 minutes to 12 minutes.
Couples privilege and single women purchasing homes at double the rate of men. Spike from a 970. It's not always that single women are able to buy when single men aren't. Anecdotally, I chose to take on this responsibility as a woman when my guy friends who have the means aren't doing so by choice, which is fine. Homeownership is tons of work, poses some financial risk, and locks you in a place for at least 2 years, and they know that. What guy wants to be locked in?
Have you noticed the theme of our text messages today? Just
Spike's
call
wrong.
Out Spike.
Spike's
wrong. Spike's wrong.
Yeah. I'm here for you. G, get better. Quickly.
Oh, stop. Okay, but we do want G to get
we
better.
We do want
absolutely.
G to get better.
Should Sound Transit compensate a Tacoma business owner for ongoing delayed construction? Mike says, I live in that neighborhood. The whole project is a mess. They will finish a section, clean up, strip the road, and it looks finished. Perfect. Then a month later, they tear it up, reduce it, and then when done again, it looks the same. This has been going on like this for over a year. Someone somewhere is not doing their job.
And quickly, are billboards ugly enough that we should ban them from the 425? I'm surprised that billboards are still a thing. They're an eyesore, and I can say I have never had a billboard compel me to do anything or buy anything.
And just ahead of the Dory Monson show, we are going to do Words to Live By now, brought to you by Wilcox Farms. And this is about laughter, because I've sure laughed a lot today. And you should always laugh when you can, because it is very cheap medicine. Thank you, Spike.
Oh, thank you.
For a fun day. Appreciate you. Thank you, Chef, for another great show. Nick?
Well, you want to talk about a backup at a busy place around town in these parts. I can't imagine seeing a line at SeaTac for TSA going all the way back to the parking garage. On top of delays and cancellations getting dicey with some airlines, I've got a suggestion. Take a good old-fashioned cruise down the freshly opened West Seattle Bridge instead, and bask in one more week of sunshine, taking a trip to Alki behind the wheel, maybe. Just make sure when I see a wave when you merge onto the bridge with traffic, expect Spike to give you a dirty look if you don't do that polite move over there.
But I will give you a friendly smile, and I'll wave, and I'll say thank you profusely if you let me in. How's that?
Perfect. That'll work.
We'll do this again tomorrow. Thank you so much. Again, the Dory Monson Show is coming up next. Stay with us.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody. Jackie's everything before me.